Rabbi Saya, good morning. A guten Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Tzav. Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Para, Tov Shin Pei Dalet. We're going to learn from the four Parshas, Parshas Para Aduma, together with the Parsha of Tzav. And we're holding in the week where all of us have been, we all fulfilled the mitzvahs of the Yemei Purim, the reading of the Megillah, and the Matanas of Yainim, and the Shalach Manas, and the Suda, and the Mishnah, and hopefully all of us had a great, great, joyful Simcha Dika Purim, and we elevated ourselves. And as we mentioned this week, that the concept was to gather together, that there should be a Kehillah, and in the midst of everything, we see that we're still holding in the parasha of the Megillah. When I want to speak about this, as we always do, try to speak about the parasha, speak about the connection between Parshas Tzav and Parshas Para, and to speak about current events. And we also want to mention some gevaldike maises, which I saw from Gedolei Olam, and we're going to hopefully tie them all together. So as we mentioned, that we have to realize we're still in the parish of the Megillah, we're still in the parish of Esther Menatorim Minayin V'Anochi Aster Aster Panay Mehem, speaking about the fact that the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes he hides himself from us, we don't necessarily see fully what Rabbanu Shel Olam has in store for us, just like the Megillah story was a story which no one could truly understand where the Yeshua was going to come from. So the same thing in our days. We realize we are in a tremendous chayshach, tremendous darkness. And this is something that we have to hold on to the concept of amunah. I saw brought down that the Rishoner said that b'fnei Maisa Mashiach, before Mashiach will come, then the darkness will be so difficult that the nesayin of amunah will be so difficult. To have true faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be so difficult, to have that true, complete faith that everything is really in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it will be difficult for a person to say Shema Yisrael. What does it mean it will be difficult for a person to say Shema Yisrael? To mouth the words of Shema Yisrael. Unfortunately, many, many of us know what that means. We mouth the words, but to have true understanding and feeling that Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, to recognize that everything is really dependent upon the Achdus of the Ribbono Shel Olam, to have true clarity of Emunah, that the only thing that watches over us and the only entity that we have is our connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and not to contemplate for a moment that it's dependent upon our physical prowess, our Kochi V'Otzim Yodi, Os Elias Achayel Hazeh. And this is the test which Jews have gone through in the past and that we're going through till this very day, that we get inflated and we begin to think that it's really everything is dependent upon our own initiative, our own involvement. And again, as we always say, that does not mean we shouldn't perform hishtadlus. One has to do the acts of what's needed to do the utmost, but at the same time, recognize that it will only be successful if the Rabbanu Shel Olam wants it to be successful. And if we don't have those concepts, then, and we're dependent upon only the powers of the Medina, when I say Medina, it's not just Medina Yisrael, not only the Medina here in Israel, but every Medina, every country, if we think that that is what is going to be our defense, then we are living in a dark world. Everything is only dependent upon our bitachon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to ask for the gula, that the gula should come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And especially in these days where we see that there's a lot of darkness. Just yesterday, the Supreme Court for the first time gave a decision that yeshiva bachrim are now not considered exempt from the army, which has been embedded within the framework of the state from the formation of the state from 1948, that there was always a patur, there was always a exemption for yeshiva students who were sitting and learning Torah Yom HaLayla, that they could be able to be able to be free, to be able to be the soldiers of Hashem and learn the Torah. But now, no, they're saying that everyone has to go to the army, and they're going to remove the funding from the yeshivas. And again, you know, you could look at it as being in the world that we live in. Well, what does the Seichel say? The Seichel says, well, you know what? We're having a war now. We need more soldiers. So where are we going to get a pool of soldiers? We're going to get a pool of soldiers from the yeshiva students. The falsehood is that if one does not really believe in the emunah, that the Torah is magni amatzli, that it's really the avenue of the fact that we have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the yeshivas HaKadoshes are really the greatest defense for the Jewish people. They are the greatest soldiers of the Jewish people. And for sure, we daven and we pray that every single soldier that's in the battlefield should be safe and sound, and we have HaKadosh HaTov to them. But at the same time, we have to have not just HaKadosh HaTov to the Yeshiva Bachrim. We have to recognize that without the Yeshiva Bachrim sitting and learning, then this country does not have the ability to exist. It will not exist just on physical power. It will only exist if there is the defense of the spirituality, which is permeated because of the Limud HaTorah, which has been part of the framework of the formation of Israel from its inception, from before 48, from the times that the Torah was given in Har Sinai. This is all coming about in Parashas Parah. Parashas Parah is a time where also we can learn the Inyanim of Emunah, because the Inyan of Parah Aduma is that we take the Parah Aduma and it should be an atonement for the Egel Hazov. The Medrash says, Yavo Eim u'mekaneach es b'no. The mother comes and we bring the Parah Aduma, which represents Kedusha and Tahara. This is what's used to sprinkle onto the person that's a Tamei Meis. And that will bring Kedusha from the Tumah, which of those that went off and they were astray. Why were they astray? Because they decided to take their own decisions into their own hands and to make sure that they're going to have the conduit to Hashem through a false god. While we know that the only way we can have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only with a connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, not to make up your own ideals. So the Parah Aduma is the concept of Tahara, Taharas HaNefesh, Taharas HaGuf. We're going to say some stories about great people. We'll see what real Taharas HaNefesh come and where it emanates from. So Rabbi Yisai, on this Shabbos, we want to be mechazik, the Inyanim of Emunah. We want to be mechazik ourselves in the Inyanim of Tahara. We want to be mechazik ourselves in the power of the Torah HaKadosha in its unadulterated form. It's completely, completely in its pure form. That is really what gives us the strength to be able to be here in this country. And Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, the yeshivas will continue to learn under all circumstances, as difficult as it might be. And hopefully, people will get their seichel back together again and understand that this shutfus, which has been from the culmination and the formation of the state, will continue mitzvah Hashem, and it should be a schus for Gantz Klal Yisrael. The Pasuk says in the beginning of the parash, in Parashat Tzav, the Ribbono Shel Olam says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you should tell Aaron HaKohen, Tzav is Aaron is one of Lehman, Zoyz Torah Sa'ova. And Rashi points out the famous word Tzav is a lashon of Zeros, which means to do things quickly, Miyad Uladoris, for the moment and for generations. And the Amrib Shimon, we need the concept of tzav over here, because over here you bring a carbon, which is a carbon oila, which is kulay kalo. Since it's completely brought on the mizbeach, and there's no parts which a person eats, not like a carbon shlamim, which a person eats, it's a completely kalo. So therefore, there's no benefit from it. So it's like a person loses money. So we need to be mizaris. It's miyad l'daris. I saw a very, very interesting vort from a great Rav, Rabbi Avram Tzvi Weiss, who was the Gaon HaBezdin of a neighborhood in Bnei Brak called Neve Achiezer. And he said, famous Gemara, the Gemara says in Shabbos, if the Rishonim are like Malachim, if the first ones, that means to say, if we look at the great of us as Malachim, then Anu K'Bnei Adam, then we'll be considered like people. If we really look at the great of us, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, and say, oh, How am I ever going to reach their levels? Then we'll be like people. But if Rishonim are like Bnei Adam, but if we look at people, these great people, and say, ah, they had fallacies, they had Yetzirah, they had other things, and they weren't that great, then what? Anu kechamayim, then we are like chamayim. They did have Yetzirah, but they were able to overcome the Yetzirah. But they were great people. Then if not, then we will be like chamayim. And what is the concept behind this? This really has to do with how we educate our children. If we're going to perform our own mitzvahs in a way which shows that we are makpid on all aspects of the mitzvahs, we don't cut corners. We try our utmost to be as true as we can to the spirit of the Torah at all times, to do the mitzvahs kitikuna, to daven bizmanai, to learn, to do chesed, all the things which it's incumbent upon a Jew to do, that his children will see a role model. As we always are fond of saying, the greatest education is to be a true role model. You don't have to go and to do anything else. I saw it yesterday, I heard a little bit of a podcast, and they were speaking about that in today's world, many, many young girls that come to seminaries, even if they come to very, very good seminaries, but for some reason they're missing out in the panemius, in their inside. They might act in a certain way on the outside, but on the inside, they're not really completely as strong as they look to be, as they seem to be. And one of the things that must be said is that the parents have an obligation to really, the parents and the teachers, to be true blues, as they say. If they will be excited about mitzvahs, then their children will be excited about mitzvahs. If they are not excited about mitzvahs, then the children are not excited about mitzvahs. If the most important thing is the smartphone, then the children are going to see it, and automatically they're going to want to have the smartphone. If you want to know how we're going to have the next generation that will be able to be a generation which will keep the Torah and the mitzvahs, it's only if we ourselves are like malachim. We act as best as we can under all circumstances that the Torah itself will be fulfilled in its greatest fashion. That's tipshat. Tzav is a lashon of zirus. If we'll do it bezrizus miyad in our generation, then it will continue l'dayrus. It will continue in the future as well. And this is, I think, a great lesson for us as we go into this Shabbos, that we should realize we should be mechazik our connection to the Torah and to mitzvahs, and therefore it will be a great, great schus for us and for our children. So a gevaldik avart from Rebbe Eliezer Baruch Finkel. And this week's parsha, we speak about the inyan of the Korban Toda. And we know that the Korban Toda was brought, and we've mentioned it in previous years, and I urge everybody, if you can listen to last year's podcast, which is online, it's worthwhile. We said some gevaldik things in there, but we want to add on a little bit in this week's podcast. So the pasuk says that a person, if a person is bringing a Korban Toda, which is a nedava, so then makri v'zevach shlomo v'lashem. So he has to be makri v'zevach shlomo v'lashem, and this is brought for the arba shetzrichim lahaydus. There are four people that have to give it up. Four different personalities: person that was sick, person that was in the beis asurim, a person that went through the yam, and a person that was let out from a beis asurim. So all of these people, they all have an obligation to bring a korban toda. The Medrash says an unbelievable Medrash. The Medrash says, "L'asid lavai, all the korbanos will be batal except for the korban toda." The Medrash adds on something else, which is really hard to believe, but this is what the Medrash says. The Medrash says, "L'asid lavai, all the tefillas will be nullified, will also be batal, except for the tefillah of hodah." The tefillah of Adah, which means the tefillah of Maidim. Everything else is going to be cut out. We're going to have a different type of Shemon Esrei. How do we understand that? What does this mean? So, the Belly Baruch Zatzal said a gewaltig insight based upon the Ramban in the end of Parashas Bayi and Shemais. The Ramban says over there these words: the whole tachlis, the whole purpose of the Yetzirah, of the creation of the world, is shenayde l'shmai, that we should be thankful to Hashem, that we should praise Hashem the tachlis kol haMitzvah shenamin belokeinu, the purpose, the entire purpose of mitzvahs, which is the purpose of the Bria, is that we should believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'noyde l'shmoy shubareinu, and we should thank Him, and we should show appreciation to Him that He created us. V'zeh kol ha-Bria shel Adam. And the Ramban says further over there, this is the reason why we gather together in Bata Knesios and Bata Midrashos, that we gather together in order to give praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be thankful. The purpose is to be thankful, Rabbi Zayn. Every korban that's brought, it's always brought because of a lack. A person did a sin, brings a korban chatas. If a person brings an asham because he did some sort of aveira, an oila is because he was mavatal a mitzvah saseh in the Yehura Elev. It's all because of aveiras that we did. It's all to somehow fix up things that we are lacking in. Even a shlomim, the purpose of the shlomim is, Rashi says, shamati ilim sholom ba'olam, in order to bring peace into the world. Take a look at the world today. The world is what? The world is without peace. The inyan of shalom is to make things shlemus, but it means we're lacking. The world is going to be in a period of tikkun, and therefore nothing will have to be fixed. Therefore all the karbanos will be batal, because I won't have any chet, I won't have any pagam. But the karban toida, which the Ramban says is really the tachlis of Yetzirah Adam, that will remain. Because that's really the tachlis, to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to take a look and see the beautiful world that we have today, that Rabbeinu Shem gave us, and to be thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is going to remain. And that's the pshat in the tefillahs. The tefillahs, there's going to be no purpose to ask for Shema Koleinu, there'll be no purpose to ask for Baruch Aleinu, no purpose to ask for Rafa'enu. Everyone will be healthy. The world will become to its final tikkun, Mirtz Hashem. So therefore, there'll be such a shefa, but still there'll be such a shefa. What will remain? What will remain is that a person should give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Last year we said over a Gevaldik Pshat, that the Rabbeinu Bachya says that besides the Arba Tzorich L'Hoydus, there's also an Indian of what? Of Chassid and Kala, that Chassid and Kala also have to be thankful. When the Shidduch is made, that's a great, great Hodah that a person has to have. And Rebbe Libarch says that there's a hodah on a shidduch, because there's a new creation that was created. When we have an ish and an isha to put together, that's like a new creation. So that's a real yitzira amitis, which is the real purpose of the yitziras ha'adam, of the yitziras of the bria. So the tachlis is that we should give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi said we have to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to understand that the Ribbono Shel Olam, in the midst of the darkness, what can we say? It was a bridge that fell down in Baltimore, the Francis Scott Key Bridge. I went over that bridge, not like Biden. I really went over that bridge, not on a train, but by car many, many times. It's in my home city, my hometown of Baltimore. Rabbi said it fell in 1 second. What is the Ribbono Shel Olam showing us? A boat came, hit a pillar, and the thing just crumpled. Rabbi said those things which we thought were chai v'kayam, physically, things that stand, like the Twin Towers, these are reminders. Anything which is physical does not have an ability to what? To have a kiyum, unless the Ribbono Shel Olam wants it to have a kiyum. And for some reason, the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving us this message in this week. This week, which on one hand is still Hester Panim, but we recognize that we have to have a munah. We close our eyes and we'll say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And try your utmost to be mechazik in our emunah and our bitochen, as difficult as it is. But I want to tell you some great mises, which will give us all chizik. And this shows us the power of the Torah HaKadosha. Three stories of Gedolei Olam. The Panovich Rav, who founded the Panovich Yeshiva, not only did he found the Panovich Yeshiva, but he, at the end, when the war came and children were orphans, he created, as an adjacent to the yeshiva, there was a base Yisoimim, a house of Yisoimim, and he brought all the Yisoimim from the remnants of the Holocaust, and they came to Eretz Yisrael, and he took care of them. He had a woman that was involved, and they had a base Yisoimim, an orphanage for these poor kids. One time there was a boy that came, and this boy had such trauma, post-trauma, drama, whatever he had, and he didn't trust anybody. the woman, the righteous woman, Mrs. Monk, that was in charge of the Beis Yisrael, tried to get him. She wanted to give him a clean bed. She wanted to get him to take a shower, put on new shoes. They used to supply them with food and with clothing. And he refused to follow any sort of order. So finally, she couldn't convince him. So she went to the Panovich Rav. The Panovich Rav spoke to the boy. And he also wasn't able to convince him. So what did the Panovich Rav do? The Panovich Rav went to the his great gadol, to the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish asked to see the boy. The boy came in. He started speaking to him. And he saw the boy had such trauma. He asked him, why don't you allow us? When they want to give you new clothes, they want to take a shower. He says, no, because in the camps, when I took off my shoes and I came out, the shoes were gone. When I took off my clothes, the clothes were gone. I don't trust anybody. So the Chazon Ish was able to convince this boy. He says, listen, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to be achray. Your clothes will be here. If you want them, you can have them. But allow us to be able to take care of you. So he said, if you're going to watch them, then I'm going to what? Then I'm going to do it. And that's what he did. He went into the shower, and the Chazon Ish watched over the clothes. He didn't just watch over the clothes. Listen to this unbelievable story. He took the boy's clothes together with the Panovich Rav, and he said, we have to be his father and his mother. They both took the clothes. Can you listen to the scene? Chazon Ish and the Panovich Rav, and they put it into, in those days, the bathtub, whatever it was, in order to wash clothes. They didn't have washing machines. And the Chazon Ish himself took the soap and he scrubbed the clothes clean. Rabbi, do you hear this? The Panovich Rav went and poured the hot water and he added on his own tears of crying when he heard the story because it reminded him of his 9 children and his wife that was killed in the Holocaust. That's why he was so careful to take care of Yisoyim. Rabbi, do you hear this? The Panovich Rav and the Chazon Ish, they washed this boy's clothes. They understood what chesed is all about. This is what the Torah teaches us. And this boy ended up becoming a great Talmud Chacham, a great Talmud Chacham. He ended up not only staying in the Beis Yisrael, he went to the Yeshiva of Panovich and became a great Yeshiva because these great rabbis, they were what? They were careful to make sure to use the Torah and the Torah of chesed. At one point, it seems the Panovich Rav had difficulties in maintaining the Beis Yisrael. And the people that were involved with him, they said, Rebbe, you only have enough koiches for one of the institutions, either the yeshiva or the Beis Yisrael. You can't do both. You don't have the money in those days. They didn't have the funds. The Panovich Rav said he had a Kabbalah from the Chofetz Chaim that every maizid, every yeshiva has to do chesed. He says, this is my chesed. Without the chesed, there can be no kiyum. Rabbi Sai, if you know anything about the Gedolim, everything's about Maisa Chasodim. That's what the Torah teaches us. Another story about the Panovich Rav. Panovich Rav, when he was in Telz, he was the Alter Rebacher. And there was a boy that came to the yeshiva, and it was the first time that he was away from home. He was a young boy. And the Panovich Rav saw that at home one night, he was very, very sad, and he was like whimpering. And he said to him, going over to him, he said, you know, Bacher, tell me what's wrong. He says, listen, I'm a little bit spoiled. I came from a comfortable home. I'm here all alone. Don't have my mother, you know. And I'm thinking about my family. And it's difficult for me. So the Panovich Rav wanted to give him chizuk. So he didn't say, come, I'll learn with you. He said, oh, you know, let me just speak with you a little bit. And then he said, come, let's go outside. Let's go outside the Beis Medrash. And he said, listen, do you like to wrestle? And the boy said, well, I used to wrestle. That's good. So the Panovich says, come, we'll wrestle. And they started wrestling. The Panovich Rav knew that the way to get to this boy wasn't necessarily take him in the Beis Medrash and learn for that moment, but to show him that he has a friend. And the Panovich Rav wrestled with this boy. In those days, I think wrestling was like the athletic thing that yeshiva boys did. And after half hour of this schmooze and this wrestling match, the boy was able to go back into the Beis Medrash, and he maintained a relationship with the Panovich Rav while he was in Telz. And the war came. This person emigrated to South Africa. After World War II, when the Panovich Rav would go to South Africa to raise money, this person remembered Yossel Kahneman, his old friend who wrestled with him, and he became one of the great supporters of the Panovich Yeshiva. Rabbi Sai, chesed, this is the Torah. The Torah teaches us chesed. The Gedolim, they're able to take the Torah and to show us what true chesed is. there was a Rosh Yeshiva, there was a yeshiva called Yeshiva Slabodka. The Alter from Slabodka at one point wanted to appoint a great Rav, the Shavel Rav. His name was Reb Aaron Bakst, or he was called Reb Archik Bakst. He himself was a Talmud of Slabodka, and he was a great Baal Musar, he was a great Rav and a great Talmud Chacham, and the Alter held that he should be the Rosh Yeshiva. So he invited him to come and to give a shir in the yeshiva, and afterwards he told him, I want you to be the Rosh Yeshiva. So Reb Archik says he has to think about it. After a day he comes back and he says, I'm sorry, I can't take the position. Alter was a little bit, you know, bewildered. You see, this is like the this is the best thing. Rosh Yeshiva of Slabodka. So finally, at a certain point, he said to him, I'm being mitzavah you you're my Talmud. Tell me the reason why. He said, I'll tell you the reason why. He says, when I was in the parish of Shiduchim, it was read to me the daughter of Reb Shraga Frank. Reb Shraga Frank was a great balabas who supported all the yeshivas, and himself was a Talmud Chacham. And when he passed away, he left in his tava that all of his daughters should be married to the greatest Talmud Chacham of the Olam HaYeshivas. And his wife, the Rebbetzin Golda, she went and she wanted to get the best shidduchim for her daughters. And I was read a shidduch to one of her daughters, and not only was I read a shidduch, but eventually I got engaged to her. And then what happened was, I went to visit her. I think she lived in Kovna. I think it was Kovna. And they had a big factory. That's where the Franks supported. She ran the factory. So when he went to visit his kala, he went out on a date with her a little bit. You know, what was the date? What did you do? They didn't go to hotels. So he said, you know, let's go see the factory. He said, for sure. Went to see the factory. And at the factory, he asked Golda, he said, you know, can you tell me about the factory? Tell me about how the business works. You know, how you get the supplies, how you send. So she told him. But afterwards, she discussed it with her mother. And her mother said, oh, this Bacher, I see he's got a business mind. And my husband only wanted to have someone that was going to be only a Lamya Torah. I'm afraid that he has really aspirations to be a businessman. And the shidduch was broken. The shidduch was broken. Now, Rav Archik said to the altar, I heard that this daughter, I'm afraid if she would hear that I became Rosh Yeshiva Slabodka, then she would feel, oh yeah, yeah, I didn't really realize what kind of shidduch I had. And it could cause her pain, it could cause her a bezayin and suffering. Because of this, Rabbi Yisai, he refused to take the position. And then he found out that Golda was married, that this daughter was married to Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein, who was one of the Bechirei Talmid HaChacham of the generation. And Rav Archik said to the altar, take Rav Moshe Mordechai to be the Rosh Yeshiva. And Rav Moshe Mordechai became the Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Moshe Mordechai's brother-in-law, other members of that family with Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer, the father-in-law of Rabbi Aaron Kotler. And Rabbi said, do you hear what the Torah teaches us? The Torah teaches us chesed to such a degree that I'm willing to be mevater on a shtela to be the Rosh Yeshiva of Slabodka. The Chazon Ish and the Panovich Rav scrubbing the clothes of the young boy. Rabbi said, this is the Torah's chesed. And this is what we give hodah. This is what the Olam HaTorah is producing. And the Olam HaTorah Mirtz Hashem will flourish on Bikayim. On this Shabbos, Kodesh, Parshas Tzav, Parshas Para, the Parsha where we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Tahara, to give us Tahara Mirtz Hashem. The Rabbanu Shalom should listen to our prayers, should listen to our Bakoshas, and we should be Zoichim Mirtz Hashem, not only a good Shabbos, but this month we should see Yeshuas, and we should see as the Rabbanu Shalom will be Megale from the Hester, he'll bring great Nisim Gedolim on this month, Be'ez Hashem Yisborach. Hopefully, as I saw it this morning, my friend Rav Mandelbaum, who wrote a sefer now on the Inyanim of Geula from the Torahs of Rav Sternbuch, and I asked him how the sefer is going. He says, Rav Yeshua, it's selling out left and right. I said, and we said, both of us said the same pasuk, Goyel Yisrael. What do we say? The Rabbanu Shalom will be Goyel Yisrael. We have Avtocha, there's no question. And Munim B'tochen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will redeem Klal Yisrael, just like he redeemed us in Mitzrayim, Kimei Tzeischa, The Eretz Yisrael Erna Neflois, we should be Zoicha Mitzvah Hashem. The Gula should come quickly. B'mheirav Yameinu Amen. Wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you very much for listening. We want to thank jfoundations.com. If you could sponsor any of our activities, it'd be another way of addressing and being able to give over Torah to other people. Go on the website and show your support. Thank you very much for joining us.